Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Luke's English Podcast is sponsored by iTalki. They are an online service with thousands of qualified native speakers who are ready to give you lessons or just conversations whenever you want them. You can sign up, decide what kind of lessons or conversations you want, browse the many available teachers and tutors, check out their qualifications, have a look at some of their videos, have a discounted sample lesson with anyone, and then when you find someone you like, iTalki will give you 100 free credits when you make a purchase. That's about $10 of free time with a native speaker, which is not bad at all. Go to teacherluke.co.uk/talk to get started today. Right, so that's the sponsorship mention. And now let's move on to the episode. And here we go. You're listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk. Hello and welcome to another episode of the podcast. In this one, I'm holding a Luke's English Podcast Annual General Meeting, an LEP AGM. It's called an annual meeting, but in fact, this is an AGM that doesn't happen on an annual basis. It doesn't happen on an annual basis. And by the way, on an annual basis means every year, okay? So in fact, the last time I held an annual general meeting on the podcast was almost exactly 3 years ago, on the 4th of August 2013, in episode number 141 and number 142. All right, so the last time I did one of these AGMs was 3 years ago. So perhaps this shouldn't be an annual general meeting. Maybe this should be the triennial meeting, not the annual meeting, right? Maybe this should be the triennial meeting, not triannual. Because, in fact, triannual means three times a year. All right? Are you confused yet? You might be. And you know what? You might now get even more confused. Because on that note, the words triennial and triannual, on that note, there is a language point to be made here. And it's about expressions of frequency. Okay? Expressions of frequency with words like annual, biannual, weekly, biweekly, and stuff like that, all right? So before we go any further, this needs to be sorted out. So let's start small and work outwards from there, okay? We'll start with small units of time and we'll work out to the larger units of time. So first of all, you've got expressions like on a minute-by-minute basis, which means every minute. For example, news updates on the story are coming in on a minute-by-minute basis, okay? So there's on a minute-by-minute basis or every minute. And that also works with seconds. You could say on a second-by-second basis or every second. Then you've got hourly or every hour or also once every hour and on an hourly basis, all right? So hourly, every hour, once every hour, and on an hourly basis. For example, the website is updated hourly, or the website is updated every hour, or the website is updated once every hour, or the website is updated on an hourly basis. The website gets updated a lot, basically, that's what I'm saying. Then you've got, so that's hourly, then you've got daily. Everything's still pretty clear here when you have daily. So you've got daily, every day, once a day, and on a daily basis, which obviously means that the thing happens one time every day. All right, nice and simple, no problem. But it starts to get more tricky when we get to week. Okay, so we have weekly, every week, and then on a weekly basis, and also once a week, all of which mean that the thing happens one time per week, all right? For example, I don't know, the meeting happens every week, or this is the weekly meeting, or the meeting is planned to happen on a weekly basis or once a week. Fine. Okay? So that's all okay. But then we have the word bi-weekly. Yeah, and that's when things start to get a little bit more complicated because we have the word bi-weekly. For example, at our bi-weekly meeting. Now, Does that mean that the meeting happens twice in a week or once every 2 weeks? Okay, for example, you can also benefit from our bi-weekly newsletters. You can also benefit from our bi-weekly newsletters. So do I get 8 newsletters in a month or 2 newsletters in a month? Bi-weekly, is that twice in a week or every 2 weeks? Now, this does cause some confusion with native speakers and occasionally requires some clarification if it's not obvious from the context. Of course, the problem is, in this case, it looks like the problem is the result of differences between North American English and British English, as is often the case with little differences of usage like this. So in the USA, it looks like, according to what I've read on the internet anyway, it looks like bi-weekly tends to mean that the thing happens every 2 weeks, whereas in the UK, for us, it means that it happens twice in a week. Okay, so bi-weekly in the US, every 2 weeks, and in the UK, bi-weekly means twice in a week. So basically, in the UK, you get more. That's right. It seems that we're either more greedy, because we get more, or more generous than the USA in this particular instance. It's not always the way, is it? It seems that there's usually, you get more in the USA. Things are bigger, there's bigger portions, people consume more, but not in this case. Okay, bi-weekly means that it happens 2 times in a week in the UK. Now, obviously, this is all fascinating, of course. Absolutely fascinating. We haven't finished anyway, because once I've started a language point, usually it's necessary to finish it, right? So, yes, in the UK, bi-weekly means 2 times in a week. Okay, well, in any case, the expressions are slightly different, right? Imagine that you can imagine that you get more in the UK. That might be the way that you remember it. And so bi-weekly means twice a week in the UK. We also have an expression in British English to mean once every 2 weeks, okay? And that one is fortnightly, fortnightly. A fortnight, that's fortnight, one word, a fortnight is 2 weeks in the UK, all right? So we have fortnightly as well. For example, the newsletter is published on a fortnightly basis, or the newsletter is published fortnightly. Right, still fascinating, I know, still riveting, but we haven't finished. Then we also have monthly, once a month, on a monthly basis, and every month, and they all mean one time a month. So you can relax there. Everyone's happy there. Except that everyone's happy with once a month, right? Except when you think about rent and bills and other monthly bad things. But linguistically, it's pretty simple. Monthly, once a month. But when we get to 2 times a month, things get a little bit more complicated again. So twice or 2 times a month, we can say. Every 2 months, they're fine, but bi-monthly has the same problem as bi-weekly, all right? Except that the Brits and the Americans, we're both confused about this one. Everyone's mixed up about it. According to the Oxford Dictionary website, according to them, the publishing industry have agreed that it means twice a month, all right? So the publishing industry have managed to get themselves together and agree that bi-monthly means twice a month, okay, meaning 2 times in a month, right? So well done, publishing industry, you've sorted out your business, but everyone else, it seems, is still confused by bi-monthly. Everyone's got their own version of it, so it's probably best just to use twice a month or every 2 weeks, okay? Are you still with me? Everyone, are you still with me? It's pretty early in an episode to get so bogged down in a language point, but here we are. I've started, so I will finish. And we're not finished yet, because there's years now. We've done seconds, minutes, hours, days, weeks, months, and now we have years, all right? So we have annually, once a year, every year, or once every year, and they all mean that the thing happens one time in the year, okay? For example, this meeting takes place annually. And also, annual is the adjective form, for example, the annual general meeting. But when 2 things are involved, it becomes complex, of course. It's a bit like bi-monthly. So biannual or biannually can mean either twice a year or once every 2 years. Okay? You still listening, ladies and gentlemen? You're not dead, are you? Hello? Good, you're still listening. Right, so bi-monthly, biannually, it's a bit like bi-monthly, okay? So biannual or biannually can mean either twice a year or once every 2 years, depends on who you're talking to. So yes, people are confused by this, people in general, native speakers of English included. So it might be safer, again, to just say twice a year, all right? Or just make sure, maybe you can just make sure that you only do things once a year, okay? Just do things once on a yearly basis. Just keep your life simple, okay? Just become a monk. It's easier than dealing with the vocabulary, okay? So just keep it simple. Just do things once every... Only do things once. Just never repeat things. It's easier for the language. Now, in fact, there is an answer here with the biannual and biannually, okay? Because according to the Wiktionary, that's the sort of Wikipedia dictionary thing, Wiktionary. According to the Wiktionary, biannual means every 2 years. Okay, so they've decided, or they've worked out that biannual actually means every 2 years. And the word, there is another word that means twice a year, and that's biennial. Biennial, all right? So you've got biannual, every 2 years, and biennial, twice a year. But to be honest, so many people confuse these words, these two words, and loads of people don't even realise that the word biennial exists. So, because no one knows that biennial even exists, the word is a little bit useless. And if you use it, you'll technically be correct, but people will either not know what it means, or they will think that you sound a bit too clever and a bit pedantic, and maybe a bit patronising. Like if you say... they'll say, so this meeting's planned to take place twice a year. And you say, oh, wait a minute, no. I'm getting confused now. This meeting's planned to take place only once every 2 years. And you say, what, you mean biennially? And then everyone will go, ooh, look at him, he's using the word biennial. Isn't he posh and sophisticated and intelligent? So, good. I'm glad we got that sorted out straight away right at the beginning of this episode. That's good, isn't it? Yes. Quick time check. Wow, I've already done about 11 minutes in this episode, and I haven't even got past the title of the episode yet. How is that even possible? Where does the time go? I don't know. Anyway, let's open the window. It's getting a bit warm in here. So where the hell was I? That's it. This is the annual general meeting, which doesn't actually take place every year. In fact, the last time I did this was 3 years ago, so this should be the triennial general meeting, which does sound quite ridiculous, even if it is correct. In fact, since I'm all about the details in this episode, it seems, I should say that I've only done this twice now, this annual general meeting. It's only the second time I've done it. And two times isn't enough to establish a pattern. So, for all we know, the next time I do this could be 4 years from now, and then what? What would I call that? I can't call it the triennial meeting, because it hasn't happened every 3 years. What am I going to call it? Something that happens every 3 years in the first two instances, and then every 4 years after that. I don't think there is a word for that. So I suppose we can just call it a random general meeting. What the hell? It's not even a proper meeting. Who am I kidding? It's just another episode of this podcast, and I'm dressing it up like it's a meeting just for fun. So all of this is like some weird made-up problem which could easily be solved by me just shutting my mouth and then opening it again in order to talk about something else, which I am going to do now. Okay, I could just talk about something else, like, for example, the weather. Hey! Ah, the weather. We're on safe ground there, aren't we, with the weather? Ah, phew, that was close. We nearly got completely lost down a linguistic and mathematical rabbit hole there, didn't we, with biennial and triennial and annual and biannual and all that stuff. That was nearly the perfect storm of language and maths. And when language and maths get together, then you know it's going to get complex. Well, I'm certainly glad that we got through it now, and we're now on to something much more comfortable and safe for me, and that's the weather. Ah, it's always a... It's always a safe bet, isn't it? The weather is a topic of conversation. And talking of perfect storms, it is looking very grey and overcast here at the moment. It could start raining at any moment. In fact, there might be thunder. That's right. Did you see that? Did you see the link that I just did there, everyone? Did you see the way I linked from all that stuff about trienniums and biannual meetings into the weather? I don't know if you noticed that, but I mentioned it being the perfect storm of language and maths. If you talk about the perfect storm, it's like I'm not sure exactly how to define a perfect storm, but it's like, I think it's when several storms combine to create a mega storm, or it's where a storm gets to such a level of intensity that it becomes known as a perfect storm. So here I was talking about the perfect storm of language and maths combining, and then I ended up talking about the weather. And talking of the perfect storm, we might actually have a genuine storm here, because it's very looking very grey and overcast. Oh dear, yes. That is why, ladies and gentlemen, that kind of clever linking is exactly why this podcast has won 4 Macmillan Dictionary Awards and was nominated for a British Council Elton Award this year. Quality in a cup, that is. I don't know why I just said quality in a cup then. No one ever says quality in a cup, especially when you're talking about podcasts, because they don't come in cups, do they? No. Not unless, of course, you put it in a cup. But I don't recommend that, especially if the cup is full of water or coffee, because then you've probably put your phone in a cup of coffee, and that's a bad idea, isn't it? Right, okay. Now, keep it simple now, okay? Anyway, so in this episode, I'm pretending to have a big meeting like I did in episodes 141 and 142. Remember them? I don't know if you've listened to them, but you could go back and listen to them. It's a similar kind of thing. I'm having a meeting and you're all invited. And in the meeting, I'm going to go through some agenda items, which I have to talk about. And I have some questions for you, which I want you to answer, okay? So I'll tell you a few things, and then there will be regular questions for you to answer, and I'd like you to write your answers in the comments section of the website, okay? On the page for this episode. So welcome to the meeting. I expect that you've all got an agenda. Did you get a copy of the agenda? It was sent to you by email. Did you get the email? You didn't get the email. You might want to join the mailing list, okay? Then you'll get the email. Right, so let me just give you an overview of the meeting first. Remember that this meeting is also a feedback session. For every item on the agenda in this meeting, I have a question for you, and I want your answers, okay? So get into the comments section on the page for this episode and respond to my questions. Here's an overview of the agenda. So we've got some items like this. Brace yourself, episodes are coming. Pokemon Go, Notting Hill Carnival video transcript. Carnival video transcript. Something about the transcript collaboration. Luke's English Podcast World Tours. Hideki Kanazawa, who wants to meet other Lepsters in Tokyo. Sorry We're English, the comedy show. Music. People selling my content. And a comment from a vampire, okay? So that's just an overview of what's going to be in this episode. And I have things to say about each of those things and questions for you to answer. All right, so we'll start with the one that's called Brace Yourself, Episodes Are Coming. And that's pretty clear, really. You should brace yourself because episodes are coming. I'm going to be uploading, I guess, I don't know how many episodes, but there should be a few episodes coming up in quite quick succession. I'm not sure what those episodes will be about at this stage. It depends on how much time I get to prepare them, but there will be some episodes coming quite regularly over the next week or two, I expect. And then after that, there will be another quiet period when I go away on holiday with my wife. Because, you know, my wife, she loves holidays, and she's a big fan of vacations. So we're going on holiday in the second half of August. I've got a little bit of time before that, and I expect I'm going to use that to produce a few episodes. So brace yourself, episodes are coming, and then there'll be a quiet period, probably 3 weeks or something like that, when we go on holiday, and then, you know, the period when we come back and stuff like that. So what you should probably do is stock up on episodes as I upload them. I'll try and upload a lot. if I have time. You can stock up on those episodes and then listen to them in the sort of quiet period in the second half of the month. All right. So here's a question for you. Remember, I said there'd be a question for every single item in this agenda. And the question here is, have you checked out all the old episodes in the archive? To be honest, that's more of a rhetorical question than a genuine question, to be honest. Have you checked out all the old episodes in the archive? The point is, you should check out all the old episodes in the archive because there are lots of them. Go back, go all the way back to the sort of pre-100 episodes because there's some good stuff in there that you might not have heard. I say good stuff. I mean, I think some of it's good stuff. I'm quite proud of some of the episodes that I've done. And if you haven't listened to all that stuff, then, you know, do go back into the archive and check them out. Right, next item on the agenda is Pokemon Go. So, Pokemon Go, this is the craze that is sweeping the globe at the moment. Everyone's kind of talking about it, or lots of people are talking about it, and lots of people are playing it. It's the most downloaded app on the App Store. It's kind of like this buzz that's going on at the moment, and it's a huge craze. Now, I plan to talk about Pokemon Go more fully on the podcast soon in probably a dedicated Pokemon episode, or at least I'll talk about Pokemon for an extended period of time in an episode soon. What I might even do is download the Pokemon app on my phone and actually go out and play a bit of Pokemon and give a commentary while I'm doing it. That might be interesting. So there will be a Pokemon episode coming soon. But in the meantime, I would like to get your thoughts on this phenomenon of global pop culture. So my question here is, what do you think of Pokemon Go? So just give me your comments about Pokemon Go. What do you think about it? What are the good and bad things about Pokemon Go, in your opinion? Leave your comments on the page for this episode. Next item on the agenda is the Notting Hill Carnival video. I think it was about 3 episodes ago, I posted an episode that had no number. I think it was called Quick Hello / Notting Hill Carnival Audio. I think that's what it was called. The episode had no number. That's because, for me, that wasn't a proper episode. It wasn't a sort of a normal, proper episode of the podcast. It was just a sort of like a quick hello, essentially. That's why I called it a quick hello. It's not rocket science. But it wasn't a full episode, so I didn't give it a number. You see, if the episode doesn't have a number, it means it's like a special sort of unique one, or one that doesn't quite count as a full episode. In that episode, I played you the audio track to a video that I made at the Notting Hill Carnival a few years ago. And I understand it might have been a little difficult to follow exactly what was going on. It's best if you actually watch the video, because then obviously you can see everything. But I just wanted to tell you that there is a full transcript to that video. If you go back to the page for that episode, just a few episodes ago, there is actually a full transcript for the Notting Hill Carnival video. So if you couldn't really follow it perfectly, then you can read every single word. And if you didn't understand something, it's all there. Every word is there. And that includes all of the phrasal verbs and their definitions in a list. So go back to the page for that episode. You'll find the transcript and you'll find a full list with explanations and examples of every single phrasal verb that was in that video. And there were 40 in the video. Okay. Right. So my question for you here for this item is this. Do you ever visit my website, and what do you look for when you are there? Okay. So do you ever visit my website, and what do you look for? Why do you visit my website? What are you looking for when you go there? All right. And I guess two sub questions. One sub question is, if you don't visit my website, why not? Why aren't you visiting my website? And that's not a rhetorical question. I'm not just making an angry point. Why don't you visit my website? I'm not doing that. I'm genuinely asking you, if you don't visit the website, why not? I wonder why you haven't visited it. Maybe for you, there's no real reason to visit it. Maybe you're just listening. But anyway, I'd like to know. And the other sub question, and I'm asking this while sort of looking through my fingers. Do you know that expression, to look through your fingers? If you're looking through your fingers, it's like you're watching a horror movie and you cover your eyes with your hands and you sort of look through gaps between your fingers because you don't want to look at it directly. It's like too scary or there's something you don't really want to see. So you cover up your eyes, but you look through the gaps in your fingers. So at this point, I'm looking through my fingers and I'm asking you this question about my website. And the question is, how would you change it? How would you change my website if you could change something about it? And the reason I'm looking through my fingers there is because I do spend a hell of a lot of time working on that website, and I'm fully aware that it's not perfect. It's very sort of busy. There's lots of stuff on every page. There's loads of stuff in the menu. It's not necessarily that logical, but because I'm the webmaster for it myself, I do it all myself. It's pretty difficult to get it to be even more simple than that. Now, I know that some of you now are listening to this thinking, I know how to do WordPress, Luke. I'll help you. That's easier said than done. It's pretty complicated because, for example, there are links to pages on the website and the menu items are all linked and things like that. And it's much harder to restart or create a new website than you might imagine because of so many links that cross-reference. For example, every single audio episode on Audio Boom has a link to a page on my website. And also there are other links all over the internet from other people's websites that point to my website. And these are the reasons why it's pretty tricky to change it and even to move to a new website and stuff like that. Anyway, so do you ever visit my website? What do you look for when you're there? If you haven't visited it, I wonder why not. How would you change it? If you could change it in any way, how would you change it? And I'm sort of bracing myself for some of those responses because I don't really want to hear any negative feedback or, you know, constructive criticism there. But at the same time, I think it's important for me to hear some feedback about the website. So that's why I'm kind of looking through my fingers, because I'm sort of bracing myself for comments like, oh, you know, you could change this, you could change this. And then I'll be like, stressing out because it's difficult. Anyway, next item on the agenda is the transcript collaboration. And I want to read out a comment from a Lepster called, now I'm not sure actually what your first name is, so I'm just going to read out the whole name. And this is Vasily, and I'm not even sure I'm saying this correctly, Vasily Shi Diana Vaganov. I'm going to call you Diana, because that's the word, that's the single name in there that's familiar to me. Vasily Shi Diana Vaganov. It's difficult for me to read out names like this when I don't know how they're pronounced. In classrooms, it's a different story, because what happens in a classroom is I have students from around the world and I learn their names on day one. And often their names are, you know, names that are foreign and can be difficult for me to say. But because I've got the student, I've got the person there in front of me, I can work with that person and they can teach me how to say their name. So that's great. And then once I've learned how to say their names, then I get it right every time. But here, when I'm just reading names that are written down, it's much harder for me to pronounce them correctly. Anyway, Diana, I'm going to call you Diana. All right. And so Diana said this about the transcript collaboration. She said, "Hi, friends. I'd like to share with you some thoughts about transcribing episodes here on Luke's English Podcast. I listen to a lot of episodes, and I think that most of you do too. And we enjoy the time learning with our best teacher, Luke. Thank you. Some time ago, I'd started transcribing, and at first it was not really comfortable. It was really not comfortable because it was a new thing that I was doing, and it was really challenging. After I had finished my first chunk of transcribing, I was really exhausted, but at the same time, I felt that I had climbed Mount Everest. I said to myself, I've done it. I managed to do it. If you decide to join, you'll see that there will be a war inside you to do it or to give it up. What I've realized is that I now understand Luke better than before. While transcribing, I have to pay attention to each sound, word, and expression, and it really makes me understand, feel, and remember the English Luke is using." Right, so what Diana there is referring to is the transcript collaboration, which is something that I launched oh, I don't know, probably about 2 years ago. And with a transcript collaboration, listeners to this podcast can transcribe episodes of the podcast using Google Documents. And it's really cool because at the moment there is a transcript collaboration team that are working together to produce transcripts in a really efficient way. And I wanted to mention it on the podcast because I think that they would appreciate more members of the team. Okay, so this is a call for transcript collaborators who would like to join the transcript collaboration team. If you're interested, you can contact Antonio because he's one of the people who's managing the transcript collaboration project. Antonio, you can contact him and his email address is PTHOLOME, okay, PTHOLOME. At hotmail.com. You'll see that email address printed on the page here. Antonio has given out his email address before in comments about transcript collaborations. So contact him if you're interested in getting involved in the transcript collaboration. Antonio, and his email address, PTHOLOME at hotmail.com, and you will find that email address there. Basically, the way that they're doing it is that they agree which episode they're going to do, and then I think it's Antonio who then breaks the episode up into 5-minute chunks, and so he gets like a list of names of people who are going to work on the episode, and he creates time codes on a Google, on a blank Google document. For example, let's say you got Diana, Jose, Antonio, Jun, and Anna. Okay. Can I remember those names? Jose, Antonio, Diana, Jun, and Anna, let's say. I don't know. There's just 5 random names. And so Antonio will say, Antonio, 00 to 5 minutes. Jose, 5 minutes to 10 minutes. Diana, 10 minutes to 15 minutes, and so on. You see, so each person is given a 5-minute chunk, and that way, instead of one person trying to transcribe a whole hour or more of an episode, instead you just have to transcribe 5 minutes, and it's really achievable. It really is. You have to concentrate. You have to listen very carefully, but you just listen to your 5-minute chunk and you transcribe it word for word. And if there are bits that you don't understand, you can just leave a gap, and other Lepsters can try and fill those gaps for you. And then once the whole episode has been transcribed in that fashion, it then gets moved to a new folder. It gets moved to another folder, which is full of transcripts which have been finished, which have to be proofread by me. Now, that's a brilliant system for, first of all, producing transcripts for my episodes, but also it's just a really good sort of boot camp training in specific listening. And, I mean, I really believe that it's a good idea to try to transcribe sections of audio that you listen to. It is a good technique because it focuses your attention on every single word and every single detail. You end up, it's like micro-focusing on the details. And it does have a really good effect on your English. I mean, like as Diana said, you know, she says that she now understands everything I say much better than before. And she has to pay attention to every single sound, word, and expression, and it really makes her understand, feel, and remember the English that I'm using. So it's like a way of concentrating the English right into your head, and also it's helpful for me as well because it means that I have transcripts waiting to be proofread in a folder, and so eventually, when I finally get through those transcripts, I will be able to publish them, and then other listeners to this podcast will be able to benefit from being able to read these fully transcribed scripts. Okay, I mean, obviously, now what I have to do is work out how I'm going to proofread that stuff, but that's my problem. Okay, what you can do is just get involved in the transcript collaboration and try transcribing some sections of some episodes. Check out the page for this episode, and you will find Antonio's email address there. Antonio is also quite active in the comments section of most of the episodes. So I'm sure if you, for example, left a comment on the front page of the website asking a question for Antonio, I expect that he would see it. depending on how many comments come through. Sometimes I get loads of comments, and so you know, your comments will sort of disappear off the bottom of the page. But I reckon if you leave a comment on the front page, or at least leave a comment under this episode, I imagine that Antonio will probably spot it. So my question, or my questions for this section, are this. Do you use my transcripts? You'll know that some of my episodes are fully transcribed and the transcripts are published on the website. If you go to the website and look in the menu, you'll see a button that says transcripts. If you click there, you can find a list of episodes that have full transcripts available. So do you use those transcripts, and how do you use them? Do you have a particular method for using transcripts? And how valuable are those transcripts to you? And if you don't use them at all, please let me know as well, okay? So basically, I want your comments about transcripts. Do you use them? How do you use them? Do you have a particular method? And how valuable are they for you, okay? Right, next item on the agenda is the Luke's English Podcast World Tour. And I mentioned this a few episodes ago. This is the idea that I would go and visit different, probably different cities in countries around the world, and do something like a live podcast recording or a stand-up comedy show or something like that. Now, I'm still working this out, okay? So watch this space. The concept is that I would come to your city and put on a live show of some kind. It could be a stand-up comedy show, it could be a live podcast recording, or just some kind of meet-up event. I would need it to take place in a... I would need it to take place in a place with a bar, a stage, a microphone, a dedicated room for the event, not just in the public part of the bar where other people will be trying to just have a normal evening. That doesn't work. It would need to be in a dedicated room in a bar, you know? So you'd need to like go through a door in order to get into that, to the room where the event was happening, so that, you know, normal members of the public wouldn't be forced to listen to it. There would need to be seating, English language friendly staff, hopefully, or at least someone who can act as a go-between between me and the staff. And it should also be open for every Lepster to come to. It shouldn't be in an exclusive private space. So I imagine that the event would take place in the evening, and it should be something that everyone can come to. Okay, rather than just like happening in your company where only your employees could take part, it would be something the public could join. It would be good if we could take bookings. Imagine something like a poetry reading in a bar, but bigger and with Lepsters, okay? So thank you very much if you sent me an email promising to help me to do this. I have been in touch with a few people about it already, particularly people in Moscow and St. Petersburg, which seem to be the places where there's the most amount of interest for this. And I am just trying to work out how I would do it and if I could cover my costs at the moment and when I would do it and things like that. But as I said, I'm still working this out. Thank you for your email messages and things like that. I've taken note of them. And you know, as I work on this, I will probably be in touch. Okay. So my question for this section is, have you ever met other Lepsters? Have you ever got together with other Lepsters that you don't know, like people that you didn't know before, but have you ever met people through this podcast? And how many people do you think I could get together in a space in your local area? Just the other day I met a Lepster called Leo, who came to one of my shows, and he talked about how he'd met some Lepsters in Russia, and he said it was amazing. So anyway, that's what I've been thinking about. Have you ever met other Lepsters? How many people do you think I could get together in a space in your local area? By the way, Leo works for, well, he has his own website, which is called roommateflatfinder.com. Roommateflatfinder.com, which is a sort of service he put up. It's like a kind of a social networking site, which he's set up in order to allow people to find roommates and flats to share in different cities around the world. So have a look at it, roommateflatfinder.com, and it's quite a good way to hook up with like-minded people who are looking for places to stay And it could be a good way to get in touch with some Lepsters as well. Leonardo is a Lepster himself, and I'm sure he'd be glad to meet you. Right, so what else? What else? Where was I? So, next item on the agenda, and that is Hideki Kanazawa. Hello, Hideki. How are you doing? And Hideki wants to meet other Lepsters in Tokyo. So this is a call for Lepsters in Tokyo who'd like to get together, okay? You've got someone called Hideki who is interested in arranging a little meetup with other Lepsters in Tokyo. So I think that's a great idea. It would be really cool if you guys got together. So if you're interested, if you are a Lepster and you live in Tokyo and you'd like to get together with Hideki, who looks like a friendly, he's a long-term Lepster, then you can do that. Now, I'm wondering, how are you going to connect with each other? How are you going to get in touch with Hideki? I suggest that you look in the forum on my website, because I've added a forum thread about Hideki's suggestion, okay? So go to the website, go to the forum, and you'll see that there is a new forum thread which is about Hideki's message. Here is Hideki's message, and he said, "Hello, Luke and everyone. How are you doing? I hope you're fine. Recently, I came up with an idea. I want to meet Lepsters. I'm not sure it's okay, but I want to hold a meeting, maybe just drinking, of Lepsters if I can. And because I live in Tokyo now, I want to hold it in Tokyo. Is anyone interested in this idea? If you are, please contact me. It will be fun. Thanks." So, my question, which I'm now typing, is, are you interested in meeting up with Hideki in Tokyo? If you are, go to the forum on my website and you'll find a place there where you can contact Hideki. Now, if you're in other cities and you want to arrange Luke's English Podcast meetup events, then I suggest that you do it. I think that could be a really, really good idea. Wouldn't it be fun to get together with other listeners to this podcast and just, I don't know, speak English or just have a few drinks and have a laugh together? I think that would be a really nice idea. So you could do that by writing something in the forum or finding some other clever way of getting in touch with everyone. You could also use the comment section of this page to do that, all right? So next item on the agenda is Sorry We're English, which is the comedy show that I've been doing with Paul Taylor for the last year. Now, the show has ended for the summer and possibly forever as well. It might be the last... it might be finished now. We're not really sure. But it's been a really good year doing comedy. There were a few times when Paul was away and I did the whole hour on my own. And I'd never done an hour of comedy before on stage. And so that was like really amazing. It was almost like a dream come true. I had my own 1 hour show. Doing stand-up comedy is really quite different to doing the podcast. Obviously, my podcast episodes are, you know, often more than an hour, but it's really a different thing. With stand-up, you have to try and make the audience laugh like every sort of 15 seconds or something. And it has to be like a well-structured show with a beginning, a middle, and an end, and loads of jokes and things like that. So an hour is actually quite a long time. I had some really good shows, and Paul and I together had some great shows. There were a couple of ridiculous moments that I do have recorded. I might try and pull together some bits and pieces if I can. I don't want to publish my comedy shows free on the podcast, but if there are little bits from shows that I could put up, then I might do that. But anyway, the show has ended for the summer, and it may have ended forever as well. It was also really cool to meet some Lepsters who came to the show. There was always one or two at each show, which is nice considering I'm in Paris and I don't have many listeners here in Paris. Strangely enough, I still don't really understand why there aren't many Lepsters in France. If you are a French Lepster, then you're like a super rare Pokemon. Okay, you're like valuable, extra rare Pokemon. The French Lepsters, you're like a rare breed. I'm trying to make you sound good about yourselves, okay? I'm trying to make you feel good about yourselves. French Lepsters, you are like very rare and very, very hard to find Pokemon. And for that reason, you're very valuable. Spread the word, okay, French Lepsters. I'd like to know. I'd like to know why the podcast has not taken off in France when, like, for example, Spain, Italy, these neighbouring countries, Germany, the podcast is much more popular in those places, but for some reason it hasn't quite happened in France yet. It's a bit of a mystery to me. Anyway, so despite the fact that the podcast isn't that big in France, I always met at least one or two Lepsters at every show that we did, which was nice. Now, Paul's one-man show is going from strength to strength, and he's moved his show to a new venue, and that seats over 100 people, and it's been sold out in the last few weeks. So Paul's doing really well, and his solo career is actually going really, really well, which is fantastic, isn't it, considering it wasn't that long ago. It was like just over a year ago that he was on this podcast talking about how he'd quit his job and in order to try and do stand-up, and he wasn't sure how it was going to go. And here he is now selling out over 100 seats in his own solo show. And he's also filming episodes of a TV show, which we expect to be on French television. I probably shouldn't talk about it too much, but we think he's going to be on French TV. The show is being filmed, and Amber and I have been helping him to write some of the sketches, which is cool. You know the way comedy TV shows are made. They have these things called writers' rooms, which is where a bunch of comedians all get together in a rule. They get together in a room and they bounce ideas off each other and just come up with stupid ideas and things. There's lots of funny ideas bouncing around the room, and the idea is that it then feeds into the sketch, and it all feeds into the script and the sketch. So lots of shows do that, like The Simpsons and Friends and things like that. In fact, almost all comedy shows involve a writer's room at some point with lots of comedians. And I used to listen to comedians in interviews talking about their writer's rooms, and I always thought it sounded like the coolest thing in the world, like this kind of cool atmosphere with these creative people just bouncing around ideas. And that's exactly what it was like. We went to the TV companies' offices, and they have these kind of writers' areas, which are these creative spaces where you come up with ideas. And there's stuff like there's like a ping pong table and a pool table and lots of odd objects lying around and cool kind of things, like they've got all these sort of toys and computer games hanging around and other things, and comfy sofas and a hammock that swings from the ceiling. And it's like very kind of media hipster kind of thing. And so we got together with Paul a few times to help him to write some sketches. Obviously, Paul has done the vast majority of the work himself, but it was really fun to be able to take part in his writer's room and contribute a few ideas. So I guess his show's going to turn up on French television at some point. I don't know all the details about that, but it's cool, certainly. When we have the time, I will get Paul and Amber back on the podcast soon, and we can just talk about stuff in general. So I might start my own solo show in September. Okay, so if Sorry We're English is going to finish, I might start my own show. And I will be thinking about it. I'm thinking about it now, and I will be thinking about it over the summer. And I'm just trying to work out the pros and cons of doing my own solo show. Obviously, the pros would be I get my own show, which is brilliant. And I'm talking about stage show here, not a TV show. No one's offering me a TV show. But I might be able to do my own stand-up show on stage, like a live show. And I'm thinking about the pros and cons. Pros being, yes, I'd have my own show. I'd be able to just do all my material that I've got. And when a solo show goes well, it's amazing. It feels like you're on fire for a whole hour, and there's nothing like it. It's just an amazing, an incredibly satisfying creative experience, because you get to write your show yourself and then perform it on stage. Sometimes you get to improvise certain things when the moment arises, when you talk to members of the audience and you can improvise stuff. And I've had some of the funniest experiences of my life have been in those improvised moments. So being able to do my own hour would be a dream come true and something I've always wanted to do. The cons, on the other hand, involve, well, first of all, the commitment that I would need to block off one evening every week to do the show. No big deal, really. But, for example, if I have to go away or have to do something, I would need to find some sort of replacement for me. I don't know how I'd do that. So there's all the administrative duties that you have to do. Also, there's the marketing. Like, there's one thing actually performing and writing the show, but then there's a whole other aspect of it is getting people into the room. And it's actually quite difficult to fill the room when you're not like a well-known YouTube star or something in this city, especially if it's in English, because, you know, we're in France, so of course everyone speaks French. And, you know, people have got pretty good English here, but still people are not that confident. They're not necessarily that ready to go and see an English show unless they feel like some of it's going to be in French or that there will be French elements to it. And my show is 100% in English, even though I do little bits of I do little bits in French, and not very much, really. It's more making fun of my lack of French. And I do talk about France. I talk about Paris a lot in my stand-up. Anyway, I'm thinking about it. And I'm also thinking about what the theme of my show would be. Sorry We're English was about English guys living in Paris and, you know, all the hilarious misunderstandings and things that go along with that. But I think if I did a show on my own, I'd like to broaden the scope of the show, and I might talk about movies a lot. I was thinking of finding some film-related connection to the show, because a lot of my material is about movies. I've got like a long routine about Star Wars. I've got a routine about Taken, which you might know if you've listened to this podcast before, and lots of other things related to movies and stuff. So I might do some sort of movie-related show. I was thinking of calling it Use the Force, Luke, or something like that. But that's just a working title. No idea at the moment. I'll be thinking about it. So my question for you is about material. Now, I'm always trying to build material for my shows. Okay, I'm always trying to build comedy material for my shows. And sometimes I improvise some pretty funny things on this podcast. And you might remember certain funny moments that have occurred on the podcast. Okay, and I might be able to use some of those funny improvised moments for my show, if I can remember the things that I said and turn that into material that I could develop and then actually perform on stage. Okay, so can you remember any particularly funny moments? I hope so. I hope you can. Obviously, there's the chance that you'll be like, what, there's been funny moments? I didn't notice. Anyway, I wonder, here's my question. What is a funny moment or funny episode that you remember from my podcast? Can you tell me a funny bit that you remember? It could in fact become part of my live comedy show. So think about it. Are there any moments or things that you've heard me say on the podcast that made you laugh that you think I could turn into comedy material? If there are, then just remind me in the comments section and it might help me to write that as a piece of material. Next thing on the agenda, and that is my music. So a few episodes ago, I mentioned to you that I've been making music using a Korg K oscillator, which is a little handheld synthesizer sort of looping device thing made by Korg. And it's a really nice little gadget. I got it for my birthday and I've been making tunes on it. And so I wanted to let you know that I've published those tunes on SoundCloud. So if you want to listen to them, you can. They're available there on SoundCloud. In fact, I've embedded the SoundCloud media player, the sort of playlist, onto the page for this episode. So everything's there on the page for this episode. If you want to listen to them, you can have a little look there, you can hear them. For example, you know, I've got these like tracks like this, you know what I mean? Like this. These tunes. I think I've played some of this stuff to you. in the background of previous episodes. What I like about this thing is the sort of quality of the sounds. They're very pure kind of... It produces good quality stuff. I mean, whether you like my compositions or not, I don't know, but certainly the sounds are very rich, and it's a good quality sound production. So, if you're interested, I did get a message from someone. I can't remember who it was, but I get so many messages from different places, like Facebook and email and things like that. Someone asked me what this device is because they were thinking of getting something similar for their boyfriend for his birthday. I hope this isn't too late that I'm giving you this information. But the device, I'm going to tell you specifically what it is so that you can check it out on Amazon or something. It's a Korg K Oscillator S2. No, it's a Korg K Oscillator 2S. Korg is spelt K-O-R-G, and K Oscillator is spelt K-A-O-S-S-I-L-A-T-O-R 2S. All right, so you can check it out on the internet. And if you want to buy it as a gift for someone, you can. I don't work for Korg or anything. Although, Korg, if you are listening, you know, I love your products. Wink, wink. And if you sent me other Korg-related products, Korg, who knows, I might be able to produce more music for the podcast, and then I could mention Korg again in some of my episodes. That might be a good little bit of publicity there, Korg. Korg, if you're out there, if you'd like to sponsor Luke's English Podcast, I'm sure we could come to some sort of arrangement. Okay. So if you want to listen to those tunes, you can. You can find the playlist on my website. Here's my question for you, and it's this. Do you have any music which you would like me to talk about on the podcast? Now, I know that I mentioned this quite some time ago, about, you know, music from listeners, but I might be able to feature your music in a special Lepster music-themed episode soon with my brother, because I'm going to see my brother in the UK. I'm going to go back to the UK for a few days, and I will see James. And, you know, he's a big music fan and a music producer himself, and we often talk about making that episode where we talk about music made by some of my listeners. Now, I've got some music already because some people sent me some stuff. I have a folder on my computer with Lepster music on it. But if you have some music which you would like us to talk about on the podcast, send it to me at podcastcomp@gmail.com. podcastcomp@gmail.com. Send us your music and I'll add it to my folder, and then James and I will be able to do like our music review episode. And if you send me your music, you're also agreeing that I can play the track in the podcast episode. Okay, so implicit in that, in you sending it to me, is the right for me to play it in that episode of the podcast. I won't use it and play it again and again in lots of episodes. I'll just play it in one episode where we just sort of talk about the music that you've produced. Okay, so if you've got some music, send it to me at podcastcomp@gmail.com. Next item in the agenda is this: people selling my content. Now, this podcast is 100% free, and it should be free to everybody. And if you had to pay to listen to this from anyone other than me, like, for example, who knows? I might one day decide to restrict access to my old episodes or something for a nominal fee. But there's no plan to do that now. But if, while I'm offering this free online, if you bought this from someone else, if you actually paid money to get this that you're listening to now, then perhaps, who knows, perhaps someone has burned all my episodes onto DVDs and then sold a DVD to you, then... if that's what happened, then you got ripped off, okay? You got ripped off because no one should be selling any of this stuff to anyone, okay? First of all, I own all of this stuff. It's all copyrighted to me, it's a free podcast, okay? So if anyone out there is taking my content, packaging it into DVDs and selling it, then you are a tosser, okay? And it's not okay, okay? Okay. Is that clear? Don't sell my stuff. It's not okay. Now, torrenting websites, BitTorrents. As far as I can tell, loads of my content goes out on torrents as well. Now, I know that there may be some people listening to this who don't know what a BitTorrent is. Essentially, torrenting is a way of sharing files, and all sorts of stuff gets shared around on BitTorrent sites. I understand that lots of my content goes out on torrents as well. So now, the thing about torrenting is, I guess nobody really profits from that. I hope they don't anyway. I hope people aren't making money from that. And I guess BitTorrents allow my content to reach a bigger audience. But the problem is that I don't get any indication of who's listening and where they're listening and how many people are listening when they get their stuff through torrents. Now, all of those listeners who got my episodes from a BitTorrent site, all of those listeners are hidden from me completely. I don't know the volume of torrent downloads. I don't know who's listening or where they are. It could be a lot. It could be a lot of people. Maybe I'm more popular than I think. I don't know who exactly is out there listening to me via torrent websites in the dark, probably wearing a hoodie, hunched over a computer, because that's how people who download from torrenting websites, that's what they look like, right? They're wearing hoodies, hunched over a computer in the dark, downloading things from pirating websites. So maybe I've got like a whole legion of hooded ninjas out there in the darkness downloading my stuff from torrent websites that I don't even know about. So if you are a torrent ninja, I don't know. I don't know what you can do, really. You could just say hello. I mean, I'm sort of not completely okay with my stuff going out on torrents. But at the same time, I understand that it may be helping me to reach a wider audience. As I said, the problem is I just don't know. It's like out of my control in a sense. Like, I don't know who is listening through torrents, and I don't know how many people I've got listening through torrents. But it seems I may have a whole silent ninja army hiding in the shadows. I wonder who you are, and I wonder what you're thinking. So if you're making my stuff available on torrent websites, or if you've downloaded my stuff from torrent websites, just remember about me. Just remember me, okay, as the creator of this content. Don't forget me. So my question here is, did you get any of my episodes as part of a torrenting website? And do you have any idea how many people might be listening to me that I don't know about? And then finally here, the last point here in the agenda is this, a comment from a vampire. Yep, that's right, a comment from a vampire. Now, I was just, the other day, I was out in a cafe on a Sunday with my wife. You know, my wife, she likes to go outside. She likes to get a coffee on a Sunday. And so we were outside in a cafe, and I was on my phone. Not a lot. I'm not one of those. I try not to be one of those husbands who's completely glued to his phone all the time when he's with his wife or something. That's annoying. I try not to do that, even though obviously I'm a huge global internet sensation and I'm constantly being bombarded with messages and things. But no, you know, I try not to be completely stuck to my phone. Anyway, we were there and I got this message on my phone and I opened it, and it was this message that I'm about to read to you now. And I had to read it out to my wife, and we didn't know what to think about this, but we found it pretty funny. All right, so I'm going to read the message to you. This is a genuine comment from a vampire. The vampire is called Keith, Keith Brandon. So here's the comment, right? This arrived 23 days ago, and it said, "I'm a vampire, and I know that you will be surprised to think how I can write articles on this site if I am a vampire." Right, now, this comment arrived on the episode that I did about vampires years ago. Episode 6 of this podcast is called Vampires, and it's a sort of, I don't know, it's kind of like a cultural history of the vampire, the myth of the vampire. I talk about the origin of the vampire myth. I talk about vampires in popular culture. So that was episode 6. So this comment arrived on episode 6. "I'm a vampire, and I know you will be surprised to think how I can write articles on this site if I am a vampire." Well, first of all, I'm not really surprised that you can write articles on a site if you're a vampire. I'm just surprised that you're a vampire. That's the first thing. How can you write articles? Well, I imagine you would write articles like any other person. Just, I mean, vampires can use computers, right? Anyway, the comment goes on to say, I can change any time, any day to either human or vampire. Yes, it is true. How I become a vampire? With the help of the Hindu priest, and then an email address, vampirelordtransformerchangings@gmail.com. Right, okay. And yeah, it said, how I become a vampire with the help of the Hindu priest vampirelordtransformerchangings@gmail.com? I will tell you later. Wait a minute. You can't just do that. You can't say, I'll tell you later. Not for something like that. Not when it's like, how did I become a vampire? I'll tell you later. That's not appropriate. We only say, I will tell you later, when it's something trivial that's not very important. Okay? And especially when there's like something more important happening. Like, for example, oh, I don't know, you've just come home and you got off the telephone with your parents, okay? And your wife says to you, oh, what did your parents say? And you say, oh, it's nothing, I'll tell you later. We have to start cooking, right? You know, like if there's something more important to do, you've just entered a business meeting, like you've just entered the triennial general meeting of Luke's English podcast, and you've just spoken to a friend of yours, and you sit down next to someone, and the person says, oh, what did your friend say? And the meeting's about to begin, and you'll say, oh, it's no big deal, I'll tell you later. The meeting's about to start. But if someone says to you, if you say to someone, I'm a vampire, and I'm going to tell you how I became a vampire, you don't then say, I'll tell you later. No, that's far too important and extraordinary for you to be able to say, I'll just tell you later. So the comment goes on to say, I live in North India. Here we are called Pissash. Pissach. Piss off, more like. My life changed from that day when I met a sweet, handsome Pandit Hindu priest. Well, that's quite nice. He's also Pissash. I bet he is. Called VampireLordTransformerChangings@gmail.com. That's his name? Is that his name? VampireLordTransformerChangings@gmail.com. Apparently that's his name. Also, apparently vampires use Gmail. Well, of course they do. Of course they do. I don't think that vampires would have their own email system, would they? Like at vampiremail.com. VampireLordTransformerChangings@vampiremail.com. No, apparently they just use gmail.com. I will not tell you my exact location, but I will tell you how to become a vampire. My English is not so good, so excuse me. That's okay, vampire. That's fine. Although, being a vampire, I'm sure you've had plenty of time to practice, but that's fine. Your English is actually not that bad, Mr. Vampire, or Mrs. Vampire, I don't know. Keith, well, Mr. Vampire, right, because your name's Keith. So, the Hindu priest learned the procedure from a secret book. This dark art has been revealed by a rich Hindu landowner who found a book from the library of a Danish king, and with the help of a vampire lord whose email is vampirelordtransformerchangings@gmail.com. What? I don't like the way you keep adding the email in, to be honest. It's spoiling the story, Keith. Honestly, if you want to tell a creepy story about how you're a vampire and how you've become a vampire, it doesn't help if you keep inserting an email address into the story. You know, like most horror films don't flash up an email address in the middle of the horror film. It tends to spoil the tone of the film. This dark art has been revealed by a rich Hindu landowner who found a book from the library of a Danish king, and with the help of a vampire lord, whose email is vampirelordtransformerchangings@gmail.com. If you become a vampire, you can still be an ordinary man or woman, but you will get more power and gain more height. Okay? You will become much younger than your mates of the same age. Wait a minute. If they're your mates of the same age, how can you be younger than them if they're the same age? Now, apparently you never become bald. All right. Not bad. It's actually sounding quite attractive now. You don't need any sex. 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 All right. You will always get satisfied. Wait a minute. you don't need any sex, you will always get satisfied. Does that mean that you'll just always constantly be in a state of sexual satisfaction? You'll just constantly be in a state of sexual gratification, so much so that you don't need to have sex? I don't know if that's a good or bad thing, to be honest. I don't know, because having sex is fun, it's good. I'd be a bit disappointed if I suddenly lost either the desire or the need to have sex. And anyway, also, we need to have sex in order to procreate. I suppose vampires don't. They don't, do they, vampires? They don't procreate. They don't have babies. They just bite people. That's how they spread themselves, essentially. They bite people who become vampires. It's pretty interesting, Keith. It's pretty interesting. So if you become a vampire, you can still be an ordinary man or woman, but you will get more power and gain more height. You will become much younger than your mates of the same age. You will never become bald, and you don't need any sex. You will always get satisfied. All very positive at this point. He's saying, Keith, that there are no negative aspects to becoming a vampire. But to be fair, Keith does go on to say this. He says, but to become a vampire is a very difficult task. If, after giving you the procedure, I will no longer be responsible for your nature, but you will become lone like me. Right, Keith, we need to just fix the English in that sentence, because that's not a proper sentence. You've got an if clause, and then the rest of the sentence doesn't really make sense. Wait a minute. If, after giving you the procedure, I will no longer be responsible for your nature, but you will... No, Keith, we need to get rid of if. Just get rid of the if. Then it will make sense. Look, after giving you the procedure, I will no longer be responsible for your nature, but you will become alone like me. Oh, that's quite sad, actually. It's quite sad, isn't it? So you'll become sexy, and you'll never become bald. You'll grow taller, but you'll always be alone like Keith. I suppose that's why Keith has written this comment on my website, because he's just, I imagine Keith, this lonely vampire with lots of hair, sitting at a keyboard. He said, I was so amazed at first when I contacted vampirelordtransformerchangings@gmail.com. At first, I became very scared and afraid to offer the sacrifice to them just to be a full-blooded vampire. But I later changed my mind, and strong in spirit, I did what was needed, and now I'm not just an ordinary vampire, but a powerful and famous type too. Well, yeah, you are Keith Brandons, or whatever your name is. You are, aren't you? I have powers and many do's. Wait a minute. You have many do's? What does that even mean? Do-do's? I think he means skills. I think he's saying he's got a particular set of skills. So he says, I have powers and a particular set of skills. No human life needed for you to be a full-blooded vampire. Just get what they want from you, and I promise that you will be so glad and happy being among the clan vampires. If you are being interested becoming a vampire like me, then contact the Hindu priest on these email, vampirelordtransformerchangings@gmail.com. If you also want to know more about it, then email me as soon as possible on my email to help you with information to become a full-blooded vampire. Keith Brandon@gmail.com or keithbrandon@outlook.com. Good lucks. Good lucks, everybody. All right. Well, if you're interested in becoming a full-blooded vampire, just email Keith at keithbrandon@gmail.com or keithbrandon@outlook.com or vampirelordtransformerchangings@gmail.com. All right, then. So, thanks for that comment, Keith. And my question for my listeners is this, or my questions are these. Are you a vampire? And if you are a vampire, what's it like? I'd love to know what it's like. If you're not a vampire, would you like to become a vampire? And if you would like to, you could email vampirelordtransformerchangings@gmail.com. Don't, okay? Actually, don't email Keith. Don't email vampirelordtransformerchangings@gmail.com. Because have you noticed that Keith has declined to include exactly how you become a vampire. I mean, it's just what you just send an email to vampirelordtransformerchangings@gmail.com and that's it. You have to like confirm the email and that's it. You're a vampire. Do you have to download something? I imagine that after emailing that, they will probably ask you very politely for your name, your address, your bank details, you know, the long number on the front of your card and the three-digit security code on the back. Probably, I imagine those numbers will be involved, or at least some of your personal data will be involved if you want to become a vampire. I imagine that's it. But anyway, would you like to become a vampire? If so, why? And if you are a vampire, tell us what it's like. Is it just good? Or, you know, be honest. Be honest. Is it that good? I understand that you get hair and you don't need to have sex and things like that. But come on, be honest. Is it really that great? Because vampires, they look a little bit depressed, you know? I've seen Twilight. They don't look like the happiest bunch of people, to be honest. It seems more like a burden to be a vampire than anything else. Listeners, what did you think of the Twilight movies? Have you ever listened to my episode about vampires? If you haven't, then you can check it out. It's episode six of this podcast. Check it out in the archive. All your vampire related questions will probably be answered there. Right then, so that's the end of this meeting. Thank you very much again for attending. You can now go back to what you were doing before. I forgot to mention that there are biscuits here on the table. We always have biscuits at these meetings. There's biscuits and there's some Pepsi there as well. I couldn't get Coke. I'm sorry, there's only Pepsi. I'm gonna leave that stuff there. So if you want to refresh yourselves and have a biscuit, have a glass of Diet Pepsi, then go ahead. We might hang around a little bit and just talk about vampires or whatever. That's it. Okay. Thanks for attending the meeting. Just a couple of reminders at the end here. Don't forget to join the mailing list, and you'll find that at the top of the page for this on the website. Yes, join the mailing list. That's probably the best way to get an email every time I upload an episode, and you can just click on the email and it'll take you straight to the page for the episode where you'll find stuff like notes and email addresses and links and videos and transcripts and stuff like that. You can follow me on social networks. Of course, I'm on Twitter at English Podcast, and I'm on Facebook at Luke's English Podcast. Check out my YouTube channel. I haven't done many videos recently, but there are something like 12 videos there of mine on YouTube. So check out my YouTube channel. It's Luke's English Podcast on YouTube. Check out my sponsors sign up with iTalki. Get some lessons with a one-to-one teacher. It's a really good way of pushing your English further and further and further. If, for example, you're a vampire and you want to improve your spoken English in order to recruit other vampires, then I'm sure that there will be a teacher on iTalki who will be willing to help you do that. Just go to teacherluke.co.uk/talk you can get a discount as well of 100 iTalki credits because you're a listener to this podcast. Audible as well, audibletrial.com/teacherluke. And you can download a free audio book. That's it for the meeting. Thanks very much again for attending. Thanks for listening to the podcast. Good lucks to everyone out there. And I'll speak to you again on the podcast soon. But for now, it's time to say goodbye. Bye, 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 bye.
Oh, one moment. The dates there were... Gee, you don't have a pencil, do you? Thanks. You know, my wife, she gives me one every morning, and I just can't seem to hold on to it. Yes, now, we know that you were in Mexico, but,
Lieutenant, if there's any further way that I can be of assistance to you...
No, you just make out that list, that'll be fine, Doc.
Thank you.
One more thing before I forget. Yeah. Thank you very much, and I'm sorry I bothered you.
No bother at all.
Well, listen, there's one more thing, you don't remember what your wife was wearing that night, do you? But if I was in the hands of kidnappers and my wife didn't ask me if I was okay, I'd think about that. These things, they really fascinate me. You know, they got a new thing today? Like if I want to take my wife to the ball game.
Ten.
Thank you again.
Oh. Want something else?
I told you that my wife and I are big fans of yours, didn't I? You know, and it seemed like a nutty idea to everybody. I know it did to my wife. Would you do me a favor? Would you call my wife? Just say hello. It'd give her a tremendous thrill.
Thanks again for listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
If you enjoyed this episode of Luke's English Podcast, consider signing up for Luke's English Podcast Premium. You'll get regular premium episodes with stories, vocabulary, grammar, and pronunciation teaching from me, and the usual moments of humour and fun. Plus, with your subscription, you will be directly supporting my work and making this whole podcast project possible. For more information about Luke's English Podcast Premium, go to teacherluke.co.uk/premium info.